My message today is seeing beyond this. It's hard to do sometimes, isn't it? All we see is this, what's in front of us, what we're dealing with, what we're battling. We see our sickness, we see our pain, we see our discouragement, we see our trials and tribulations, our storms, our battles. We see that the future maybe has nothing for us because we're just so bound with discouragement. But there's more than this to see. And that's where I want to take you this morning, through God's word, of looking beyond this and recognizing that, what God has prepared for you. I want you to recognize that you are forgiven as a child of God, that you are loved by God, that you are redeemed by God, that you have a destiny by God, that you have a home prepared by God. All of these things, we tend to not be able to get past what we're seeing. And I want to tell you that everything we see now is all temporary. It's all temporal. It's not going to last. You know, think about, you got that brand new car, your dream car you just loved, whatever that dream car is. You finally got your dream car. You're making them big old payments. You're so excited for the first 3 or 4 months, right? Then you're like, what have I done? Oh, my gosh. The excitement wears off. The car starts having trouble. Because not even a Toyota goes forever. It's close, but it don't go forever. You're going to have problems. You're going to have things that go wrong. Tires don't last forever. Brakes don't last forever. Turn signals don't last forever. You know, oil changes, you've got to have those. Nothing just lasts forever. Then you got your home. You got your clothes. All of that's temporal. All that passes away. Then you have your bodies that you're born with. You know, no matter how much you try to keep it in shape and what kind of diet you eat, whether you're a vegan or whether you're a carnivore, you know, no matter if you exercise or don't exercise, no matter if you do yoga or don't do yoga, no matter if you smoke or don't smoke, drink or don't drink, don't do drugs or do drugs, whatever you do to try to keep your body in the best shape possible, guess what? This body, without the change of God, will eventually pass away. Eventually. You may live to be 110. That's wonderful. But you won't live forever in this state unless God changes you. So we got to learn to look beyond this. Because if we only look at this, remember what Paul says? If all I had was this, I'd be a most miserable person. But thank God there's more than this. There's that God has waiting on me. And I'm on a journey right now. And my journey is attached with many problems and many battles and many storms. And we go through many seasons. And we go through seasons we don't like sometimes. There's good seasons. There's bad seasons. And there really is something to the midlife crisis season. If you ain't got there yet, there's something to that too, I promise you. If you've been through it, you know what I'm talking about. There really is something to that season. You know, every season has its challenges. But I thank God that there's more than this. And so I've got to get my mind and my eyes fixed on more than this and look at what God has waiting on me down the road. Because if I get stuck in this, church, I'll never have any joy. I'll never have any peace, any deliverance, any freedom. I'll never have any, I'll experience nothing good because this has always got me bound and condemned. So let's read some scripture, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17. This is Paul speaking. He says, "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a more exceedingly and eternal," that's the key word, "eternal weight of glory." I'm going to trade this in, which is temporary, for that which is eternal. Doesn't matter how long we live, life goes by fast. I have got my 30-year high school reunion coming up this year. I cannot believe it's my 30-year high school reunion. I know, so does Carol. So does Bill. I guess that's it in here. Yeah, Chuck's younger than me. 30 years ago, I graduated high school. And I never forget walking around the building. Me and Bill were walking together off the football field. That's where we had our graduation. On the old football field. Go Raider Nation. Anyway, we're coming across the building, and I remember in my mind at that moment, I hadn't thought about it until that moment hit. I'm like, man, I don't have school no more. I'm done. It's kind of scary. What do I do now? I don't get up in August to go to school on Monday morning. Wow. And I remember, I don't think Bill saw me because I hit it pretty well. I got a little bit emotional walking across there. Because, oh, Tammy. Yeah, Tammy. I'm sorry. Tammy's got her 30 years. Oh, I leave her out. Yeah. So Tammy, Bill, me, and Carol, all 30 years. And she graduated the same night I did. Different school, same night. And I remember getting a little bit emotional thinking that season of my life was over. And what's next? What's next? Those were good years. I enjoyed my high school years. My high school years were good. They were glory years. When I threw that winning touchdown pass in the fourth quarter with 3 seconds left, that was my moment of glory. Yes. Anyway, I had good years, and I enjoyed my high school years. I was ready to get out my senior year. I was, you know, working the job and making that bank, and I was ready to get out, and I was kind of done with it. But for the most part, I enjoyed my high school years. They were good years for me. I enjoyed it. I had people I liked at high school, and you know people like me, and I had a million girlfriends, and you know all that stuff. I enjoyed, but that season ended, and I had a brand new season to start because high school was temporary. High school was temporary. Even marriage can be temporary, right? It can be temporary more than once. Anyway, I love our church family. We are just honest, aren't we? So, you know, everything in life is temporary. We've got to get our eyes fixed on what's eternal because that's what remains. You know what that is? God's grace. That's eternal. God's forgiveness. That's eternal. Man, God's place he's prepared for me. That's eternal. I may get kicked out of my house tomorrow if I don't pay the right bills, right? But I won't get kicked out. I won't get kicked out of God's house because it is eternal. Oh, good. Oh, my gosh. Most of the church is like, what is going on? Anyway, verse 18. It's pastor privilege, let's just say. Wow. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. We put so much energy and effort, don't we, in things that just pass away. You know, we put so much energy. We strive so hard to get, you know, our bills paid, which we should. We strive hard to get ready for retirement, which I guess we should. I'm not sure how I feel about retirement all the time. I think that some people retire and die. But, you know, everything we strive for is going to pass away. Everything. But God's word does not pass away, and God's promises don't pass away. And what God said and what God did will never pass away. Him on the throne will never pass away. Him being my king will never pass away. Him being my counselor, my provider, my protector, my savior, my redeemer, my rose of Sharon, that'll never pass away. He's the great I am now and forevermore, and that's never going to pass away. Presidents come and go, my God remains. The world comes and goes, my God remains. Music come and goes, my God remains. Wars come and go, my God remains. Tornadoes come and they go. Hurricanes come and they go. Earthquakes come and they go. But my God remains steadfast. He is forever. He is eternal. And I trust that. That's why I can look beyond this and I can see that. I can look beyond what I'm battling today and realize I've got the victory tomorrow. That nothing's going to stop the victory that God's already put in place because it is finished. That blood's been spilt. It can't be unspilt. The blood's been shed. It can't be unshed. He's the Lamb of God now and forever, and that'll never, ever change, no matter who says they don't believe or it didn't happen. Because someone says it didn't happen doesn't mean that it didn't happen. And so I trust that, and I believe that. Look beyond this and start walking in that. I'm tired of walking in this depression, this discouragement. I'm tired of my life being controlled by the voice of the devil. I'm tired of being weak in the flesh, not realizing I have the Holy Spirit, His resurrection power, right, living inside of me. If I have a resurrected power, why am I walking around like a dead man? Why am I walking in death when the very life of Christ lives inside of me? That's how we should be walking. Because if we believe the Holy Spirit's in us, man, that should be stronger than anything that comes against us. I understand we go through bad times and we go through seasons of depression, discouragement, you know, oppression, overwhelming battles, things we can't plan for. There's days we don't get out of bed. There's days we can't get out, just don't stay in bed all day. We're so overcome. But when we have the Holy Spirit living in us, and we realize where my destiny is going to end up at, where I'm going to end up in the end, where my home is at. The Bible says my home has not been prepared with the hands of man, but prepared by the hands of God. So this house that God has built, He built with His own sweat and tears and blood. And no man can change that or tear that down or erase that or eradicate that. It is forever, and I'm part of that forever. It is time we know who we are in Christ. I know that things can get tough, but God gives us the victory in all things. Paul teaches us this in Romans chapter 8. Let's turn to Romans 8 right now. Romans 8, and we're going to start with verse 18. Romans 8, 18. Paul also wrote this. One of my favorite chapters in the book of Romans is Romans 8. Verse 18, Paul says, "For I reckon the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." The sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. We suffer because of the fallen state of man, because of sin. That's why we suffer. That's why we grow old. That's why we grow sick and diseased. It's because the fallen nature. The nature is not complete. We're going to read here in a minute where even creation fell at the fall of man. Even creation itself was affected by the fall of man, by sin. But I can take this to the bank. Whatever I'm battling now, whatever I battle tomorrow, next year, 10 years, whatever I battle, whatever I go through, it cannot even compare to what I'm going to walk into when all is said and done. Because I know how the book ends. I know what the finish line looks like. And church, the Bible says that we wear a crown. There's a crown waiting on all of those who love His appearing. There's a crown waiting on the people of God. That crown, and I'm not talking about a natural shiny crown. We're going to be crowned with the fulfillment of all God did. Crowned with eternal life. We're going to be crowned with a restored body. We're going to be crowned with no more sin. We're going to be crowned with no more weakness and no more pain and no more sorrow. We're going to be crowned with an eternal glory that'll be forever and ever and ever. And the weakened state we battle today will be no more. What we are today, the this we're walking in, will be called yesterday. And the that we will walk into will be called forever. Hallelujah. So let this go and walk in that which God has waiting on you. Because there's so much more in the rim of that than there is the rim of this. But once again, like Melanie said a while ago, we allow the devil to get into our minds and creep into our lives. And he paints a picture, such a massive picture, that this is so overwhelming. Even those that are battling stage 4 cancer, who are in pain and who end up leaving the earth, they're this melts away and they're that. Because the that takes over. And all of a sudden they're glorified, and what they suffered didn't compare to what they are now walking in. The pain is worth the prize. Absolutely, it's worth the prize. You know, I know it's a fictional movie, but a great illustration I want to use this morning. I'm a big Rocky fan. I love all the Rocky movies. Rocky 1 was kind of boring, but after that it get a little better. But I love Rocky, and I love Rocky IV, where he fights the Russian. That's my favorite. This Russian, they were injecting him with steroids, and if he's in the movie, all kinds of all kinds of stuff, and he was twice the size of Rocky, and he was massive. Here's little old Rocky, look like a little like David the Giant. In fact, they said that in the movie, David and Goliath. And he's fighting. Now, if you remember, Rocky goes to Russia and he trains hard. And he's doing it the natural way. He's not doing anything medically. He's doing it the natural way. You know, he's pulling stuff. He's running up mountains, and you know, he's getting his body prepared. He's getting it built. And when he first gets in the ring, he's getting, you know, the living daylights beat out of him. But something happens in that movie. Something happens in him. He doesn't lose heart. He begins to remember all the pain that he went through to get to this point. All the suffering he had went through. I mean, church, I give back to about 10 push-ups, you know. Okay, I'm done. You know, Rocky went through months of extensive training, sacrificing his body and his life for this one moment of glory to achieve the championship. And so he gets in that ring, and he's getting himself just beat all to pieces, and he begins to rise up. And I love the line, you know, where the Russian says, you know, he's not a man, he's a machine. You know, he hits him, and he's like, he should be dead with my blows. And you hear that music start playing. Oh, that music. Hope that's what I hear when I go to heaven. Dun 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 dun. Oh, yes. I've arrived. Dun dun dun. Oh, I hope I hear that. That music starts playing, and all of a sudden he rises up and begins to go after this Russian. And this little old David knocked down this giant, and he received the prize. I bet you if you could interview Rocky, which they did, I know it's a fictional movie, but stay with me. And he's holding that belt up in the air, and he's all bloody, his eyes all shut, where it's, you know, had to cut his eye open, he's just bleeding, and, you know, he's holding that belt up. And they said, if they would have asked him, Rocky, was this worth all you went through? Yes. It was worth all I went through to obtain this prize, because nobody can take away this belt from me ever. I've got this belt right now in my life, and I earned it, and it's my belt. Think about spiritually the pain we go through to get into what God has prepared for us. The problems, the persecutions, you know, all the things we suffer in this world. There'll be a day that when the crown's upon us, yes, Lord, thank you. Nothing I went through there compared to what I have now. And yes, Lord, thank you. The pain is now gone. The struggle is now over. I've crossed the finish line. And I am now a champion forevermore. And nobody, no one, no devil can ever take it away from me ever again. Trust that, church. The thises of your life are going to disappear at some point. And you're going to walk in your that. Verse 19. For the earnest expectation of the creation waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creation was made subject to vanity, not willingly. See, even creation was affected. That's why things are in order. But by reason of him who has subjected that same in hope. Because of the fall of man, creation was affected. Because, look at verse 21, creation itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only creation, but ourselves, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. Isn't that inner desire of all of us to know there's more than this? I think every nation, every tribe, every people have some understanding that may not know it as Jesus Christ or the cross of Calvary or the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But I think every person on the planet has an inner awareness that there's something more than this. That's why they search. That's why they read. That's why they study. That's why they go different places, trying to find the magic solution of what comes next. Because there's more than this. and we look in the mirror and we feel our bodies and we look at ourselves and we look at our problems and we look at our situations and we wonder, God, there's got to be more than this. And there is. Oh, there's so much more than this. You be encouraged and you keep walking and you keep going forward and you keep reminding yourself that the thises of my life are not going to be the that I end up with. I'm not going to stay in this. I'm going to walk in that. I'm not going to stay where I am. God's going to put me where he wants me to be. The thises of our lives, they all pass away. We go through seasons of heartache. Guess what? God heals our heart. We go through seasons of loss. God restores our loss. You know, Charles was away for 7 years, locked up in a prison cell. That was a pretty bad season for him. 7 years of his life, locked away. Not the greatest season. He probably wouldn't recommend that to anybody. Hey, go get locked up 7 years, man. You know, it's not something he's you know, would want to do again. But you know what? That was his this moment that he didn't like that's produced a that moment now that's changed him. Now he's outside, and he's got a new vision. And a new hope, and a new expectation, and a new dream. That if he hadn't went through this, he probably wouldn't be in that. So look at your thises as moments of, okay, God, I'm going through it. But I know, like the song Ashley sung last Sunday, sometimes your blessings come through raindrops. Sometimes your something comes in tears. Yeah, you know. Sometimes it takes 1,000 sleepless nights to know that he is near. Sometimes we go through some stuff that we can see God and hear God in a way we wouldn't hear him or see him any other way. If all of your problems were just solved today with a magic wand, you had no more issues, your wife was perfect, your husband was perfect, your children were perfect, all your bills were paid, and you got money in the bank to do whatever you want to with. I know, Georgia, that'd be wonderful, wouldn't it? I wonder how much we'd call on God. I wonder how much we would seek the counsel of God. I wonder how much we would even need God. I'm not trying to be sacred. I'm just being honest. How much do we need God when there's no problems? How many women say, I don't need a man? How many of us would say, I don't need a God? I don't need a God. I'm good. Things are good. But when something happens, when we go through a this moment, I had someone at where Melanie works out. I go over sometimes. I talk to the patients, and I, you know, just listen to problems, try to help them, pray with them. Sometimes there's a person that goes there who's an atheist. Says that, you know, don't believe in God. But yeah, I've been talking to this person for a while, and before I left the other day, talking to this person, they said, "Look, I do want you to, if you can, I got a situation I want you to pray about." Me scratching my head. Okay. And they said, I know I don't believe in God, but, you know, if there is the chance there is a God and you can pray and this situation can work out for me, I really need a miracle. I need something to happen here and blah, blah, blah. You know what it tells me? That deep inside, deep inside, that there's a small piece of her that recognizes there could be, possibly, someone upstairs that's bigger than her. Possibly. What atheist is going to ask you to pray for something? If there's not something inside that questions maybe there's something. Every person has that, I think, inside of them. And that's why there are so many things called cults. Because people are trying to find that thing that's more than this. And that's why that we look at stuff that looks foolish to us because we know the truth of God. But some people do foolish things trying to have an awareness. You know, the Native Americans, they worship different gods. Sun God, moon God, wind God, rain God, different things they worshiped. And they called, you know, they had what they call the Great Spirit. And I think they had an expression called the hunting ground or something in the sky. That was their heaven to them. They may have not understood this Bible as we do today. They may have not understood the God that we understand today, but they did recognize there was a deity above them, something more than them. There was something more than this. You know, every Christian funeral you go to at the gravesite, most ministers will say something along the lines of ash to ashes, dust to dust, and hopes of the great resurrection. You know, recognizing that it doesn't end here. Aren't you glad it doesn't end here? There's something so much greater for us than what's here. So don't focus so much on what's temporal. Focus on what's eternal, the things that matter, the things that go on forever. Skip to verse 28. Very familiar verse to us. I know Don likes this verse. We know that all things work together. For what? Good. All things work together. Not part of your things, all things. How can me going through pain possibly be good? How can me going through a divorce be good? Me losing a child, how could that possibly be good? I trust God's word that whatever process I go through, God's got a bigger picture than I can see. And I've got to trust that. I've got to trust He's a God of mercy, a God of love, a God of understanding, and that He has my future in His hands. And I will follow Him, and I will trust Him, and I will believe in Him, not based on my circumstances, but based on who He is. He is the great I am. He is faithful. He is holy. He is perfect. He sits on high. He is the Almighty. He's the healer, the protector, the provider. He's all in all. He's the great I am. And I've got to trust that. I've got to trust that. All things work together for good to them that love God, according to them who are the called according to His purpose, not our purpose. It's like I tell people, you know, all the time. So, you know, I pray about a situation. I got a job. You know, pray. But, you know, I want God's will done, but pray. Most of us don't really want God's will. Most of us want our will. If we're honest. We do. We want our will. This job opportunity comes up, or this house comes up for sale, or whatever it is, and we pray, Lord, I really want this house. I really want this job. You know, I really want this, but God, Your will be done, but not, you know, I really want. There's a big difference in our will and His will. God knows what is best for us, and God knows what we need. The Bible says He knows what we need before we ask Him. God knows what we need. I don't know what I need. I really don't know what I need. There are days I wake up and I'm clueless. You ever clueless some days? I don't know how to fix this. I don't know how to get peace. I don't know how to get joy. I don't know what decision maybe to make. I don't know what direction I'm supposed to go. I mean, I know what I like and I know what I prefer, but it doesn't mean it's the right way. God, I'm surrendering to Your will for my life, because Your will be the right plan. Always will be the right plan. Why doesn't God move when I pray to move? Maybe Him not moving right now is His will. So I stay still. I stay where I'm at. Moving sometimes is not always the right thing to do. Moving can put us in a bad position or a wrong position that we're not supposed to be in. So God, I know all things work out for my good according to Your will, Your purpose, whatever that is. And I'll trust that. Skip down to verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? This is where you got to focus on your that, not your this, but your that. Will tribulation separate me, what I'm going through, my storms? No, it can't. My distress, persecution or famine, nakedness, peril, or sword? Verse 37, in all things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. My thises don't define who I am in Christ. I'm an overcomer, period. Just because I'm going through a storm don't mean I don't have enough Holy Ghost. Just because I get sick don't mean I don't have enough faith. Just because I have a battle in my life that seems to be there, because I'm fighting depression or discouragement or fear or anxiety or addiction, any stronghold in my life, just because I'm fighting those things doesn't mean I'm not more than a conqueror. It's just a this moment I'm going through that's going to give way to and birth to my forever that moment. That's what it amounts to. I'm going to go through some moments I don't like, but it doesn't mean that's my end result, and it doesn't mean that's where I'm going to be left at. God's going to carry me through that, and I'm going to cross the Jordan and go to the other side. Just like Moses, or like Joshua did with the children of Israel. I'm going to cross to the other side. We're on this side of Jordan right now. We're on this side of Jordan. But we're going to cross the other side. And we'll be looking back at what we came out of and celebrate where God brought us into. There's a promised land for us, church. And there ain't nothing the devil the enemy can do to ever take that away. The Bible says I'm an heir of God, a joint heir with Christ. I'm an heir. Man, that means I inherit all that my king has. I'm a benefactor. That's a tricky word. I'm a benefactor of all that God has. Think about that. He's my Lord. He's not just somebody I sing to on Sunday. He's not just a cross necklace I wear during a week. He's not a tattoo on my arm. Man, he's a living Savior and God in my life, in my heart, in my thoughts, in my steps, in my actions, in everything that I do, everything that I see. He's my God. It's a real relationship. It's not a superficial coming to a mass service and just going through the motions. It's entering a relationship every single day, hearing God's voice, seeing what God wants us to do, experiencing God in everyday life, because he's a living God inside of me, not distant. As Melanie said earlier, he's a very present help, right? He's a present help. Bless you twice. Whoever that was. Wasn't you, was it, Carol? Thank God. Okay. Verse 38, we'll close out with 38 and 39. Paul says, I am persuaded neither death nor life. Now I thought about it for the first time. I've read this verse 100 times in my life or more. But the first time this morning something came alive to me, something came alive to me reading this. I'm persuaded that neither death, which that's pretty simple, right? We know death means the end of all things. That, you know, we know what death is. Death can't separate me. But look at the next line, nor life. I got thinking about that, life. The things in life. What we go through in life. All the this moments of life. All the battles, all the storms, all the trials, all the tribulations of this life. What we experience here. None of that is going to separate us from the love of God. Because life is full of good times and life is full of bad times. But you know what? I choose to look beyond the bad times to realize where God's going to bring me to, and that all of these are just little hurdles and obstacles to go around until I get there. But I'm getting there. We're going, church. We are on our way. The path has been set. The plan has been made. The covenant's been sealed with the blood of Jesus. The Bible says we are sealed by the Holy Spirit until the day of redemption. I am sealed to the day that I am redeemed. Nothing can change that. Nothing can break that. Nothing can interfere with that. And nothing can erase that. Hallelujah. I am redeemed forevermore, sealed by his Holy Spirit, and he keeps me in his power all of my days. So I celebrate life, because that can't do anything to change what God has for me in the future. Nor angels, principalities, powers, things that are now, things that are yet to come. Nor height, nor depth, nor any kind of measurement of anything in our lives, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. God ain't gonna leave me, church. Your spouse may leave. Your child may leave. Your dog may leave. Your preacher may leave. There was a pastor friend of mine about a year ago, walked up to his congregation on Sunday morning, been preaching there for about 16 years, about like me, about where I'm at now. Walked up on a Sunday morning, told the congregation, says, just let y'all know this is the last Sunday I'll be here. I will not be here next week. I'm stepping down. No notice, just booyah like that. I promise I wouldn't do that to y'all. I'd give you a 2-week notice. Maybe three. All of a sudden, this church that had this pastor all the years they loved, just boom, gone. Just gone. Step down, gone. Aren't you glad God's not going to be gone? God ain't going to step down out of your life. God ain't going to walk away from you. No matter what happens in life, no matter what happens in death, no matter what power comes against you, no matter what comes into your life, nothing, there's absolutely no force of nature, force of power, spiritual battle. There is absolutely zero, nothing that's going to separate us from the love of my God. That's powerful. So I can get from this to that now with that knowledge of knowing God, I'm going to be there one day. I'm going to be there one day. You be encouraged. You stay focused. You stay faithful to God, His word, His promises. You trust Him. Don't let the thises of life define you. Don't let the thises of this life bind you up. Don't let what you're battling today be who you become. That's not who you are. You know how you tell your kids when they're growing up and they're doing stupid stuff? And you say, this ain't who you are. This ain't really who you are. And they say, yeah, no, this ain't who you are. Mm-mm. You're trying to be somebody you're not. That's not who you really are. This is not who you were created to be. Something my mom taught me years ago growing up. Always stuck with me. It really did. It's a simple thing. We hear from everybody, but it really stuck with me. I might have rolled my eyes when she said it. Who knows? Because every teenager rolls their eyes. Some of y'all roll your eyes at me on Sunday. I see you back here. It's okay. But my mom taught me, said, no matter what in life, James, you be you. You be yourself. Don't change and transform to try to fit in to be like somebody else. And that stayed with me. It really did. You know, in high school, I was myself. I truly was. I had people I talked to from different, you know, all the, you know, back in my, they don't have as much now, I don't think. Everybody's kind of the same. But back in our day, back in me and Tammy and Bill and Carol's day, we had these different sects of people, you know, different groups. I guess they still have a degree, but it's pretty prominent back in my day, right? You had these groups. You had the little preppy, popular kids, you know, whatever. You had all the, you know, the jocks. You had the band people, you know. You had what we call the rogues, the black leather jackets and chains. You didn't go near them. You know, you had all these groups of people that kind of just was together, you know. Where did James fit in that? I thought about that. You know, I guess I dressed preppy. I was a preppy dresser, but I wasn't in a popular crowd. But they spoke to me. They didn't ignore me. But I wasn't invited into parties. And I couldn't sit with them. But they spoke to me. And I was just myself. I did have friends from every group. It didn't bother me. I spoke to the rogues. I just didn't take anything they offered me. But I spoke to them. Oh, rednecks. Yeah, I went to North. We had rednecks. Oh, my gosh, the rednecks. Cowboy boots, skull dip in the back pocket. You know, the rednecks. I spoke to the rednecks. They're good folks. Rednecks can be your friend. You need a good redneck in your life. You may need a good rogue in your life, too. Depends on what your situation is. But I spoke to everybody. Mom taught me that. Be myself. Don't try to fit in. Be who you are. I think as Christians sometimes we forget who we are in Christ. I am forgiven and I am loved. And whether you like me or not, or you think I'm anything or not, who cares? God loves me. And I'm God's child. And that's your problem. You can't recognize that in me. Not mine. So I'm going to be who God called me to be. Remember I used to wear ties sometimes to school, Bill? I think I was the only one that did that. And I wasn't trying to be, just who I was, I like dressing up. And there were times I would wear a dress shirt and tie in high school. I just want to do it. Time. I did not have tape between my glasses. I was not a nerd. Now, I talk to nerds. Nerds are good people to have. I encourage if you have daughters, marry a nerd. And here's why. You'll be set for life all your days. Because they're going to make some bank. Forgot about the nerds. Yeah, we had those too. I don't know what I was. I was a Mod Podge, man. Average. A ding dong, thank you. Thank you. Oh, man. I'll find out how popular I was in my 30 year, I guess. I did have a girl that I had a huge crush on. Melanie knows about this girl.
Amy Clay.
Amy was at our last reunion. I went to my 20s reunion. She was there. Now, I never talked to her in school because, Melanie was there too. She was somewhere. Anyway, she comes walking across the room, and she's still really a pretty woman. I mean, not like Melanie, but, she's a pretty woman. I never talked to her in high school. I really didn't. Never talked to her. I just stalked her. But I never talked to her. I didn't know she knew I existed. I honestly didn't. She walked up to me and hugged me, man. She gave me a hug and said, "Hey, James, she knows my name." I never spoke to her in high school, but 20 years later, she knew my name. And then Melanie says, "James, hello." Name tag. Oh, yeah. But the point is, just to hear her call my name, you know what I'm saying? It's pretty cool. Since we're recording, we're not using last names. Oh, man. Be you. Be you in Christ. Be you. The devil's going to try to make you somebody you're not. Don't listen to that. Be free in his love and his power and his joy. You got your guitar with you? Yeah, go grab it.